Good morning. Hello, S. How are you? Are you? We can't hear you. You must be muted. Oh, there she is.
There we go. I'm unmuted. As I was saying, I've forgotten how to do this.
Are you in a lonely office before everyone else early in the morning?
Yep, I am.
Wow. Wow. Talk about dedication.
I'm just hoping that the boss sees my clock in time. And
they'll be super impressed working. And give you a raise. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're in Cape Town.
Yeah, I'm in Cape Town. I'm actually staying at this amazing, beautiful house that I've got to know these people. Yeah, they're really just the most awesome people. We had a little bit of a bos barat this weekend, so lots of things being done. And coming back to Joburg a little later today, so I thought, don't want to miss the show. Let's get on with it. We've got so much to talk about. Oh, my God, this weekend, did you watch the season finale of America?
Is it just called America?
No, I'm saying America, the country's season finale with the assassination attempt and, you know.
Yes, yes.
Wow. You know, I woke up yesterday morning at like 7 o'clock and I saw my phone was going crazy and there were like thousands of messages coming through and I thought, oh, what is this? I'm not sure whether, because you don't know what to believe anymore. And honestly, you can't trust any of the normal sources. So it used to be easy. Yeah. If it was in the news, you'd be like, okay, cool. This is news. You can believe it. I'll tell you something. This is absolutely the wildest thing. And anybody who tells me that this is not the biggest news story of the last 10 years is just like fast asleep. Because the fact that in the United States of America, in the most hotly contested election in generations, the candidate for the Republican Party was almost killed by a crazy gunman who, no doubt, I don't believe any of this nonsense that people are going on about, like, oh, you know, this is just a one crazy person. Of course it's one crazy person, but in the environment of Trump is Hitler, anything to stop Trump, this is naturally what was going to happen. And I'm absolutely incensed at the way that the left-wing media have been positioning this as, oh, you know, it's Donald Trump fell at a rally, or Donald Trump spirited away from the stage by Secret Service, but no mention of the fact that this was an assassination. Some of the news media didn't even want to use the word assassination attempt. And, you know, in the scheme of things...
What else is it?
Well, I mean, this is the point, right? But they're so hell-bent on their narrative. I was thinking about this while I was trying to get to sleep last night, because when news stories like this happen, I can't sleep. It bugs me in a way that I suppose it's irrational. You know, most people would say it's not directly related to you, so why worry about it? But I think about how the idea of an assassination is, it's like the last time this happened was Ronald Reagan when I was a kid, you know? And I mean, there've obviously been smaller events along the way, but this is for the president of the United States of America, this is a massive, massive story. And to see how the Secret Service bungled things, and honestly, it's the most miraculous thing that this guy survived. Because if he hadn't turned his head, it would have taken him out. That would have been the end of Donald Trump, and it would have been like just the most incredible pretext for America to go up in flames. And I've got to say one other thing, because if this happened to a Democrat, the streets would be ablaze, the place would be falling down, people would be looting and destroying shops, there'd be fires all over the place. It would have been like when George Floyd was killed, you know, and worse, because you know what America's like. But, you know, this never happens on the right. They're always calm. And the way that photograph, my God, that photograph of him kind of raising his fist in defiance with blood all over his face. And I don't care who you are or how much you hate or like Trump. That is the photograph of the decade, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's that. And what an absolute boon. I mean, obviously, you know, your immediate reaction is like, he survived. Thank God. And even his worst enemies in politics are like, thank God he survived. But this is just the most incredible thing that can just, there's just no chance the Democrats can pick up any amount of support after this that will power them to an election victory. I mean, this is like, even though nobody wanted it, least of all Donald Trump would have, I mean, 78-year-old man, you don't want to have a bullet go past your ear, but this is going to be all that's required for him to win the election. I don't see anything happening between now and November that could trump, if you'll pardon the pun, this. Mm. So I've got a lot of conflicted feelings about it. And by the way, anybody who really does hate him and anybody who thinks they've got the moral high ground and have had because Donald Trump's a terrible person and mean tweets and all of that stuff, I mean, really, you're on your own now. It's just, you can't claim the moral high ground when your side, even if it's one lunatic, when your side is on the side of assassination. It's like there's a direct line to you being the bad guy. If you think,
yeah, I was just going to say, what is the psychology behind anyone who was not going to vote for him, or anybody who wasn't going to put him back in a position where you could vote for him? What's the difference between pre-assassination attempt and after? Psychologically, what changes in a person's mind?
Well, I mean, there's so many people who have admitted now, and these are smart people, not idiots, like, you know, high-profile business people. I saw Bill Ackman, for example, who's a really big donor. He has been a donor to the Democrats for years. And I mean, he's a super smart guy. He's been very involved in kind of sorting out these pro-Palestinian protests at university campuses. And he's been very outspoken about how he thinks that, you know, these people are anti-American and so much more. He was saying yesterday on X, he's like, I fully endorse Trump now. There's just no, once this kind of thing happens, I think it's for many people, it's like proof positive that, and obviously these things are beyond the control of anybody, right? I mean, strange events have happened historically. This, though, is absolute fodder for a presidential campaign. I just don't see how this won't redound in his honor. And the fact that he was playing golf yesterday is just remarkable. He was playing a round of golf after he's just basically been shot and survived an assassination attempt. His top part of his right ear was shot. And I mean, there was a guy who was killed, right? Let's just not forget that. Mm. And even if you don't care about Trump, like, there was a person killed at his rally. Even if that alone had happened, let's say they'd got nowhere near Trump, that would have been the biggest story ever. In any case, imagine lunatic gunman kills person at a Trump rally. That would be enough to keep the media busy for 3 weeks. Now you have an actual assassination attempt on a presidential candidate. This is the biggest story that you're going to have this year, without a doubt.
And is there, there's no chance, right, that this, you know, some people are saying it was staged. There's no chance of that, right?
I mean, look, there's always a chance of anything, and I'm super suspicious of pretty much everything I hear these days in the media. But for that to have been staged, I think you have to, I mean, how? Would you have such an incredible sharpshooter that he would only hit the ear? I mean, the chance doesn't matter how close you are, point blank range, you couldn't necessarily just do the damage that was done. And if he hadn't turned his head, or if he had turned his head, can you imagine? I mean, it's like a ball hair of
chance. It's a hair, yeah.
So sure. I don't know. I mean, to actually believe that this could have been staged, you would have to, you know, this idea of Occam's razor, right? The simplest explanation is usually the best explanation. And I think that that's probably true here. The simplest explanation is that this was an assassination attempt and that the Democrats have been fomenting this and the left-wing media for the longest time, saying, you know, he's Hitler, we've got to stop him. They've used the word eliminate. Biden used the word eliminate. Now they've got to own that, because even if this was a lunatic, what persuaded him to behave like this? What persuaded him, besides being a loser and a, you know, some kind of mentally unstable person? When those people are motivated to do something, you have to look at what the motivation was. Do you remember when there was a congressional baseball match and a Bernie Sanders supporter went and shot a prominent U.S. congressman? The people there were like, well, you know, this happens. And I'm willing to believe that lone gunmen are dangerous and do terrible things. But that's not what other people were saying when, for example, January 6th happened. They're like, well, Trump fomented this. He wanted a revolution. This was an insurrection. So if you're going to claim that, then you also get blame when your side does something stupid, or one person from your side does something stupid. I think it's absolutely the most astonishing story. And I frankly couldn't believe what I was reading yesterday. And I've watched the videos, and I mean, it's there in plain sight. That one picture where you can see the bullet like whizzing past. It's just insane. It's
crazy. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spent 18 minutes talking about this at the start of the show. So I don't know how much more we need to get into it, but clearly over the next few days, there'll be much more.
Over the next few days, so much is going to come out. There are going to be so many reactions. The way you said it's been handled quite quietly by his supporters, I don't know. Let's see.
There's no violence, Leanne. You can't dispute that. There would have been a report in the news immediately if someone somewhere decided to like take to the streets and burn shit. Like they did with the George Floyd riots, then, you know, you could say, well, look, but they haven't. Trump supporters have been well-behaved, and they're the ones who everyone's telling me all the time are the violent ones, the dangerous ones, the ones with the guns, the insurrectionists. Well, where's your evidence now? Because if I was a fanatical Donald Trump supporter and you tried to kill him, and I took to the streets, which is the only reason that somebody might on that side, then you'd have every reason to say, look, they're the violent ones, but that's not what's happened. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, I wonder what Alec Baldwin is thinking this morning. He seems to hate Trump, says Jean Andrews. You know what? He got off on a technicality in his case. So there were some very funny memes. I mean, listen, the funny stuff has happened almost straight away, like too soon. There's a Van Gogh picture of like yes. Van Gogh when his ear was like, you know, sliced off his own ear. Yeah. And the Trump face on the Van Gogh painting. There's been this meme that I saw yesterday of like Alec Baldwin was just kind of exonerated on his charges. Trump shot same day. I wonder if they linked, you know. By the way, I mean, who really thought that Alec Baldwin was going to go to jail? Anybody? I didn't.
No.
I knew that there'd be, you know, it's rules for thee, but not for me in America. If you're rich and powerful, you don't have to worry about the rules as much. So I don't know. Yeah. So many comments here that I want to get to. Lots of people talking about obviously all of this. The absolute best timeline cleanser of all was seeing Princess Kate at Wimbledon yesterday. Talk about a silver lining. She was it, says Tracy. I mean, that woman is just, you know, she's spectacular. And by the way, all that conspiracy shit about her, like being spirited away and being disappeared and, you know, crazy things. There she was for all to see. And she looked absolutely amazing. I mean, I watched a little bit of it. And I told you on Friday, Wimbledon is one of the things that I do like to watch. It's like a winter tradition.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't at home, it's a nice thing to sit in front of the TV and you're all kind of warm and you've got some snacks and things. And I mean, what a great weekend for anybody who watches sport. But for her to have arrived looking as great as she does, and she really does look spectacular. It's like a big F you to all the people who've had things to say about her as well.
Yeah. My interest in the royal family is peaking at the moment purely because I'm very far behind. Never watched The Crown, which I just started now. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, kind of affects you, and your ears prick up every time you see something about the royal family now.
Yeah, that's what's happened to a lot of people. I mean, most people who don't give a damn about the royal family. If they watch The Crown, then they're suddenly excited to know what's going on there. So I understand. How far are you into it?
The first season.
Oh, wow.
So you got a long way to go, but I'm enjoying it. And I was, while watching it, I was wondering what your take on it was in terms of historical accuracy.
Who knows, right? I mean, a lot of the stuff that happens in private, nobody will ever know. So the writers have taken a lot of liberties. And I don't watch things like that as historical documentaries. I watch them as entertainment. And I honestly can't remember seeing because I watched it so long ago. And I've got to say, I wasn't the biggest fan of The Crown. I liked it, but I didn't think it was the most amazing show ever. It's good, though. It's good. Lynn says, Leanne, you are looking so pretty in the comments. Isn't that nice?
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn.
In an office.
You know, No, somebody asked what this was behind me. So I'll take you in a little closer. This is my colleague's desk. And it's quite a
Short
collection. You've got Star Wars going on there.
Wow. Okay.
And this there's a name for this. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is.
Some kind of alien or something.
Yeah. That's my office. But I did want to say quite a warming experience I had 2 weekends ago, because we haven't spoken in ages, was visiting my dad in hospital.
Oh, yeah. How's he?
He's still in a cardiothoracic ICU. He's still ventilated. But the operation was a major success.
Okay.
For now, they're just battling to extubate him for various reasons, either low SpO2 or low blood pressure. But interestingly, the biggest delay is that he's very anxious and uptight at the moment. And that's apparently something that can happen with these sort of life-changing operations. And because of that and his mental state at the moment, they're unable to extubate. We've been very much trying to keep him calm, keep him rational. There's also an ICU psychosis that sits in as well. Mm. So things are tough at the moment. But what was really uplifting was as we went for a family visit last weekend, so that would be my mom in her wheelchair and her carer, my brother and I, and there was someone walking behind us from the park into the hospital, and she obviously overheard us chatting. And then I noticed she was looking at me, so I looked at her, and she said, "Are you Leanne Mole from the Gareth Cliff Show?" I said, "Yes." Well, her eyes just started to tear. She said, "I know your whole situation with what you've been through with your mom, what you're going through with your dad. How is he, by the way?" She said, "You know that your stories and the way you've handled your difficulties got me through the hardest journey of my life." And I said to her, "What was that?" And she said, "Breast cancer." She said, it was watching your podcast with Gareth that got my mom and I through it." And that was just so amazing. And I said, "Well, that's the whole point, just to let people know that you're not alone in your struggles. Everyone is struggling with something, you know, and you've got to have a certain attitude in order to get through it. The only way."
Yeah. I mean, I think that's beautiful. Often we go on the show and we try to put our best foot forward and be positive and optimistic. And the reality is that so many people are going through so many things all the time. And you kind of, you know, if this show is one of the things that you do every week with us, then if we can help you in some way, we can make you feel a bit better and not so alone if you're going through something difficult, then, I mean, if that's all we do, I'm happy with that, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Happy with that.
Okay. Carl says, "Latest Discovery Health report just came out, and Leanne and her family account for 20% of all claims."
Listen, there are some you know, we tend to use the same psychologist, psychiatrist, sometimes the same surgeon, and I'm sure that we've paid for many of their holidays abroad.
Oh, listen, your family have these people on a retainer, don't they?
Oh, exactly. But yeah, I mean, that little machine that's been put inside him is 2.5 million on its own without the surgery and surgery costs and hospital fees.
And the other thing, yes, I think is worth remarking on is that the longer you stay in hospital, kind of the worse things could possibly turn out, because hospitals are not a good place to find yourself, right? So if you can get out of there, if you can get him out of there as quickly as possible, that's obviously to be preferred as you go forward.
He's able to write, etc. And I've written on his clipboard, number one, calm, number two, extubate, number three, home. Just focus on those things.
Well, talking about psychologists and psychiatrists, we're going to talk to Professor Szabo, who we've had on the show before, and anybody who's listened to the show knows him. And he's going to be joining us a little bit later. He's currently honorary professor in the department and an emeritus professor in the Faculty of Health Sciences. He was formerly editor-in-chief of the African Journal of Psychiatry, and he was the host of our podcast series Beyond Madness as well. And we'll talk to him about the general state of kind of mental health care in South Africa, because it is something that I think about often. And with Life Estimeni in the news, you know, I've been thinking about that quite a lot. But listen, a few celebrity deaths that we have to comment on. So Trump may have survived, but Shannon Doherty, remember her?
Yes, from Beverly Hills 90210.
That's right. And from the series Charmed, she died at age 53. Not that old, of cancer. She's the star of those shows you just mentioned. And I remember her from, you know, when I was at school, like Beverly Hills 90210 was like the show. And I mean, I think there are a lot of guys who remember Shannon Doherty. She's quite hot.
Yes. So, the hotness factor.
Right. And speaking of hotness, I mean, Dr. Ruth also, you know, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, she died. She died at the weekend. Yeah, 96 years old. So she had a really good innings of teaching people how to finger themselves and masturbate furiously, all of that stuff, you know? Dr. Ruth doing her bit. The legendary sex therapist and television host. And she was called a cultural icon by most of the publications that reported her death. And I can think of no better way to describe her, because she really was one of the few people back in the day who used to talk about sex very honestly and openly. She taught other people to have a very practical approach to sex, and who knows, that's probably the most amazing contribution that that anyone could make. I mean, if you get people to talk about sex, you know, good for you.
I wonder how much banging she's going to be doing in heaven. Probably lots.
Oh, so much. So much. I mean, I don't know how many husbands she went through during the course of her 96 years, but I'm sure in heaven they're waiting for her with a, you know, with a huge big sofa and a massive welcoming party and all this stuff. So Dr. Ruth. And Common Sense says, Gareth, what's up with your congrats ex post with corrupt EFF officials? Congrats?
Twitter post.
Yeah, but what did I say? I mean, all I know is that the VBS scandal is now all being thrashed out in the media. I mean, I honestly haven't been paying that much attention this weekend to local news, but I know that the whistleblower, the guy who benefited, he got some 300 million rand from VBS when they looted that bank. And obviously some of it went to the EFF as well, which is why Floyd and Julius are running at the moment, because they're trying to patch this up and make it look like they weren't just stealing from old people. But this guy who has been the main crook in the story, apparently he went through 300 million rand in the space of a couple of years, and he's now living in like a servant's room on some property in Bryanston. How do you blow 300? Just think about this for a second. Forget about the EFF for a moment. We can get into that later. And we all know that there's probably skullduggery aplenty going on there. But imagine going through 300 million rand. I mean, that would last my family three generations before we'd even. How do you piss away 300 million rand?
Is there any proof of what he spent on?
Well, probably fancy cars and, you know, holiday houses and first class trips to places. But even so, I mean, 300 million rand, it beggars belief. Yeah. How do you spend that much money?
No, it's crazy.
It's wild, right? I mean, yeah. These people are these thieves, these crooks who have been eating at the trough in South African politics and using political influence to steal money. These guys just clearly are, you know, the sort of people who couldn't manage a piss up in a brewery because as soon as they have money, it's gone.
Cowboys.
But it's like, there's no amount of money that can rescue these people from poverty because the poverty's in here. So even if you gave them $1 billion, they'd find a way to piss it away in no time. And that must be a very, very depressing thing to think about. If you're some politician who is trying to steal money, that actually it doesn't matter how much you steal, you're just never going to have enough because there will always be a way to reduce you to poverty. It's just incredible.
Yeah. As I saw from Bitcoin Boot hashtag, I blew it. But that just shows you how quickly people can burn through that money.
Ooh. And Vyasin says in the comments, apparently the EFF was being paid R1 million a month. Again, how do you, if you're getting R1 million a month, even if it's through legitimate means, how do you waste that? I mean, the EFF are constantly looking for more money. What are they doing with it? You know, Beaver says Kraken whores. I love the way Beaver says Kraken whores. That's hilarious.
No, Beaver, that's how we would spend it.
He spent it all, says Judas, because he stole it. If he didn't, he'd have to pay it back. Well, apparently they're going after him. The sheriff arrived at this little cottage stroke back room that he's living in. And he has to pay some 43,000 rand for school fees that he hasn't paid. So can you imagine being his kid and, you know, your dad is in the news because he can't pay your school fees? Imagine how hard that is on a child, that your dad is a crook, confessed crook. He himself has said, yes, I stole it. Now he's living in squalor and he can't afford to pay your school fees. I mean, just imagine how that ruins a child. You would almost rather be poor.
If he was a good father, he would have invested something for that child at least. So, no, that child's broken. His brain is broken now.
Yeah. And then our own Ruth is in the comments, is of course Rebellious Ruth. She is the chairperson of the comments section, not Dr. Ruth, who's now dead.
Yes.
By the way, else is also dead. I didn't tell you about it. Remember Richard Simmons, the fitness guy, the weird. Remember him? Because he kind of disappeared for a long time, but apparently he has died. He was known as an unrelentingly positive fitness guy. Kind of strange, but he celebrated his 76th
like leg warmers and things, right?
That's it. He celebrated his 76th birthday on Friday. And then seems to have died over the weekend of natural causes. No foul play suspected. But talk about timing. You have your birthday and then you die.
Yeah. Your face, Garrett, seems to have been replaced by a little plus.
There we go. Can you see me now? Sorry.
I'm like a dog.
Hey, let's get into some sport. We haven't checked in on the sport with James. Producer James, where are you? Let's see what he's got for us in terms of sports results.
Awesome.
Hello, James.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, look at him sitting there in the green screen studio. Yes. Hello, James.
I look a mess because I overslept this morning, but we're here.
You're useless. That's why we started the show late. So anybody who wants to climb into James in the comments section, go ahead. But let's get some sports results. Of course, this is our Beyond the Scoreboard weekend sports recap with Superbets. What do we got?
We have quite a lot from this past weekend. Actually, we'll start with the rugby. New Zealand took on England 24-17 to the All Blacks there. Australia took on Wales 36-28 to Australia there. Argentina and France, they played out 33-25 to Argentina. And then our box, our dear box, they lost it in the last dying seconds. Heartbreaking stuff, huh? Did you watch it, Gareth?
I didn't watch it. You know I don't care about rugby at all, but I knew what was going on because there were other people around me who were massively upset, and I understand. Like I'm with you.
It's tough to take. That was that. I think we play Portugal next, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't know Portugal played rugby. So
no.
There's that. That's a learning curve for me. Curry Cup also happened this weekend. Greek was took on the Sharks. They beat the Sharks there 34-31. The Pumas took on the Lions. The Lions won that game 75-21. The Cheetahs took on the Western Province 37-17 was the final score there to the Cheetahs. And then finally, the Bulls took on the Griffins 52-10 to the Bulls was how that one played out. In the world of football, where my life has meaning, and no longer because the Euros ended last night, so now there's genuinely no meaning. Spain beat England in the UEFA Euro final. They won 2-1 in that game. So Spain scored first, then England decided they wanted to equalize the game. And then another game in the dying seconds where Spain took the victory. So, yeah, quite a good night for Spain. Speaking of Spain, Carlos Alcaraz, he also won Wimbledon against Djokovic. Great day for Spain. Yep. He won Wimbledon 6-2, 7-6. And I moved on to tennis, but just lastly on the football, Copa America, the final was at 2 o'clock this morning. I did not watch it, and that's not the reason I'm late. Argentina, surprise, surprise, they won. They beat Colombia, they're 1-0. So Argentina are your Copa America champions. And then lastly, back to the world of tennis, Barbara Krejcikova has been crowned Wimbledon women's singles champion. It's the first time a Czech star has won the tournament. There's now been a first-time winner of the women's singles Wimbledon for 7 successive years. Just a young fun fact Friday. Monday. It's Monday. It's not Friday.
Oh, my God.
And that's the sports wrap.
All right. Well, producer James says, Louis, I wouldn't trust you to sit the right way around on a toilet seat. And lots of people here. Fiasin says, I lost all my money this weekend. So sorry about that. I mean, listen, there was a lot of sport. And we didn't even really talk much about the Tour de France, but for some people, that's the big thing. That's some, you know, people who like cycling. I've never met such a person, but there are such people in the world, apparently. And they're into this. For most people watching the Tour de France, it's like nice scenery. That's really the reason most people would watch it. But there we go. Thank you, James. Okay, that is, of course, the sports recap. Superbet supports responsible gambling. Strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800-006-008. Superbet's bringing you the weekend sports recap. Okay, so did you do anything fun this weekend, Ass?
No, I wouldn't say anything fun. Yeah, I'm a bit of a Debbie Downer when it comes to weekends these days because they are spent with my mom and dad. So no, nothing to report. I think I have more fun in the office, that's for sure. In fact, we've had there was a big office scam going on. Not a scam, what's it called? When you prank someone, a big office prank.
Oh, okay. And God, if it was a scam, I think it'd be a big problem.
We thought we were pranking someone else, and they turned the prank around onto us. And this has involved, like, people going on missions in their cars, filming each other secretly, talk of affairs. It's been crazy. So there are lots of shenanigans here to keep us interested.
Sounds like your office sounds like it's a pretty wild place.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. And then there's a lot of hard work to do as well. So, yeah.
God, okay. Well, as long as there's a bit of balance. That's why I'm
here so early.
I can tell. There's a lot of pressure on you. By the way, you're the only person in the office?
Yeah, I'll give you a little spin.
Yeah.
So here's my desk behind me.
Ah, okay.
Oh, no one there. And the boss.
Is it a bit spooky? Is it a bit spooky for you to be there on your own first thing in the morning?
Yeah, this is the earliest I've been here. And even the security guard had to come and unlock the big gate. And then another security guard had to tell me how to turn on the light. So that was a bit like, and also these lights turn on and off by themselves. So that was a bit spooky too, because I drove past and this light was on. But yeah.
There's someone in the office. okay. Come on, James. You watched the Argentina game, hence you overslept, says Snipes in the comments. No, I don't think that's the reason. He just overslept, which happens, but I'm annoyed by it because we started a little bit late this morning. Now, you have something to add on this. I heard this term being used the other day. I took a flight down to Cape Town on Saturday, obviously, and I'm flying back today. This idea of raw dogging. Now, obviously, raw dogging doesn't mean what I thought it did, because people are raw dogging on flights, and it's not what you think it is either. I mean, when I first heard this term, it's like sex without a condom, right?
Yeah, also, I actually did think it's something.
If people
sexual
are doing
too.
That on flights. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like. I mean, that's what I always understood the term to mean, but that's not what it means.
No, and I mean, even the subheading, this wild approach to travel, suddenly all over social media, has some benefits. What's wild? What could get more wild than having sex on a plane?
All right, I'm really tired of like Gen Z and the millennials taking words that already have a meaning and changing them.
Like, so, yeah.
We've got a meaning for this word already. What does it mean?
So it means just not doing anything on a flight. You know, the way we have our devices, the way we watch whatever's on the screen, it means not doing anything, not reading anything, just no headphones, no book, no form of entertainment or diversions, and not even napping, just watching that ever-present map of where you are. And apparently the benefits are supposed to be like clear your head, being mindful, etc. But I don't know. I'm not the world's greatest flyer, and I need to be distracted. It would feel like torture for me if I had to do that.
You know, I often think about this with my little nephews. They always have to have something to do, and I know it's not just them. When I was a kid, I used to go, I'm bored all the time. But being bored is actually really important. Like, you have to learn to be bored. And it strikes me as no achievement whatsoever if you can sit on a flight and not do anything. It's not an achievement. You're not doing anything amazing or heroic by doing nothing. And the fact that people think that that's a struggle, that it's hard to just be doing nothing, is the most insane thing I've ever heard. I've often sat on a flight, and sometimes it is the best thing for you to do because it's the one place that you don't have your phone on. You don't have to be responding to messages. You're not constantly on social media or, you know, doing stuff on a device of some kind. It's like, it's the one place you can escape from that. And now, you know, Gen Z thinks that they're some kind of like, Hercules? You're Hercules because you don't switch on your device for a whole 2 hours. It's madness. This is not an achievement.
So the author who tried this for himself, he went as far as he thought, well, let me do this properly and see if there's a real point to it. And he went all the way, like even declining any refreshments from the flight attendants. Anyway, he said, I would like to say I came out of this with some kind of lesson, some kind of epiphany or emotional growth. I got nothing out of this at all. The 2.5 hour flight felt like a 4 hour flight. But I mean, you think about how we grew up. I grew up watching analog clocks and, you know, being interested to see how the seconds turn over and watching that. That's being mindful. That's raw dogging it, if that's what that is. But yes, all these trends, you know?
I don't know why this is a subject. I mean, like, it's incredible to me how doing nothing needs a word. And people who are doing that somehow think they, you know, they're achieving. So it's just incredible how low the barrier for entry is for people to actually consider themselves useful in society. It's wild. By the way, I see a comment here from John. He says, I thought I'd tune into the Gareth Cliff show to see what he thinks of the Donald Trump shooting. But again, we're talking about farts. Have we mentioned farts once?
Not once. I don't know what John's you're watching.
John, yeah, you're on the wrong show, obviously. And we did. We talked for the first 20 minutes of the show about Donald Trump and the shooting. What, do you want me to carry on just because you've joined now? How about you wake up and join us at the right time, you lazy son of a bitch? Right?
Oh, gosh.
Gen Maybe X he's raw dogging it. He's raw dogging it. That's it. Luando says Gen X and Z are bored. That's why the new meaning is created. Yeah, I mean, have you thought about like the value of being bored? It's a really good thing for kids to learn about being bored. You don't constantly need stimulation. You need to be able to be still and be quiet and focused and actually get your shit together. It's the wildest thing to me that these kids need to have something to do all the time. It's a weakness. So Sugar Shabalala says, lol, forgive him, Gareth. He's just late like James Biden. I like the way they're calling James Biden at the moment. This is good fun. All right. Something else that I wanted to ask you about, talking about generational stuff. Do your socks make you look old? Gen Z thinks so.
Every time I look at Twitter, there are Gen Zers talking about these are the things that give your age away. There was a TikTok which gained huge popularity of a young girl saying, you know, these things give your, these are the things that you do when you're over the age of 30. And obviously the people over 30 are climbing in and chatting back. But apparently the sock thing, right? I'm sure some of you have heard of it. In fact, Gareth, you and I spoke about it. It's now about wearing your socks up high, so sort of half length, and secret socks not being a thing anymore.
Right.
So apparently it gives your age away. having a wallet apparently gives your age away. And I've seen that for myself. And I looked at my wallet today and I thought, do I really need this? Everything's kind of on my phone at the moment. And, then having a little case on your little wallet section on your iPhone case, right? Have you gone that route yet?
No. So let's start with the socks. I sometimes, like at gym, for example, will wear the socks halfway up the calf, but I don't really think about it. Like if someone's actually considering this as an important identifier, I feel sorry for you.
No, exactly. Different socks and,
this is bizarre. I mean, what a strange thing to busy yourself with.
I know.
As for the wallet, I do have a wallet, but I hardly use it. I mean, it usually stays either in the car or in my bag, or I sometimes leave it at home because, again, everything is on here, right? So everything's on your phone. The only thing that you occasionally need is your ID. And there are some places where you can't just tap your phone and you have to actually use a card. So it's usually around, but I mean, I can fit all of that into a little, like basically some little pouch with two card slots in it, and then I'm good.
Yeah, no, I've got to get onto that. I've still got a traditional purse with loads and loads of loyalty cards lined up.
But you know,
I need to get those all online.
You can get an app now. Yeah, I use this one, and it works for Macro, for Woolworths, for Checkers, all of these things. It's called Store Card, and that can do all the things that you need it to do. So it's got
how old school?
Oh, wow, look at that. There's so many. What are all those? Jesus. What have you got
where,
there?
Where do you... Oh, I'm just like, what, bank card, medical aid, E-bucks. Why do I have an e-bucks card? When would I use that?
I mean, you don't need a card. I've never had a card for e-bucks. Wow.
And then these aren't store cards. They're not credit store cards. They're just like loyalty cards, like wellness.
But, I mean, this app can store warehouse. All your loyalty cards. You don't need.
I need to get onto it.
Absolute do it. Picks. Just download it today. It's Spa a piece checkers. Of cake. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to get into that. Okay. So that we agree with, right? That you're kind of giving. You're probably over 30 if you still have a wallet, etc. But I think a lot of people are changing. Then she's into the whole side parting thing.
What's that?
I have naturally.
Okay, so
it's been a thing. What
if you have a side parting? You're old.
Yes. You need to have a middle parting. Jesus. I just don't have any more. If I look in my bag, there are no more fucks to give. Really, this is how my hair falls. You know. And then there are apparently pedicures aren't such a big thing anymore. And I asked my Gen Z colleague about this. And people aren't getting their toes out so much, even in summer.
There's
this aversion to seeing people's toes.
I have to be honest with you. Like, it sounds to me as if Gen Z have done so little with their lives that they're finding boring, uninteresting shit like raw dogging on flights, like pull your socks up. Whether you have a wallet or not, these are their achievements. These are like, you know, these are things that separate me from the herd. These are things that make me cool and interesting. Like, these are not achievements. They're not wonderful things that you could take credit for. It's just ordinary stuff. You should be embarrassed that this is all that you've got to talk about that separates you from everyone else.
They're going to have to face a lot of shit in their lives, and I don't know if they're going to handle it. I don't have much faith at this point.
Listen, I mean, we don't want to sound like those people who, you know, we're the best generation and everyone else is stupid. But honestly, Gen X, drop us in the middle of nowhere and we'll find our way back to civilization. We'll be able to make it. I don't think that's true for so many people in Gen Z. Unbelievable.
No, this is very true. And it goes on with Stanley Cups. Apparently they're an old thing, but then American high school teachers were getting on and saying every second pupil has a Stanley Cup. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that was a very big thing last year already. We were talking about how like all the mums have like their Stanley Cup with their coffee in it on their way to drop the kids at school or pick them up from sport or whatever. So it probably is an older thing. Although, I mean, I don't know if Stanley Cups have taken off in this country the way that they have in America. I've certainly seen some people with them.
I have seen, yes. Yeah, it's like a bit of a status symbol. I think they cost quite a lot for a, you know, what it is. Did you want to hear more?
Yeah.
If you want to.
No, go. I mean, like, I'm just blown away that these are the things that Gen Z is proud of.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. Polka dots. We aren't wearing polka dots if we're below 30. Apparently that ages you.
Wow.
More than one piece of jewelry. So you'll have just earrings and that nothing else, or just a ring and nothing else, or just a necklace and nothing else.
Yeah, but that's because Gen Z has no money because they haven't earned any.
No, that could be true. And then the last one, using a shopping bag as your handbag. So, you know, but this is true. You'll see an old lady with a Wee's bag and she's got everything in there, her purse, her glasses, her tissues, her groceries.
I must be honest with you, I've never really noticed this.
Yeah, no, well, it's a thing. But now the tote bag thing is coming back, but they're just being called tote bags, but they're little normal handbags. So, yes, all these things to be mindful of if you have any bags to give.
I don't, but I'm glad that you filled me in so I know how uncool I am. Whoopee, yeah. I don't mind. I really don't care about being uncool. No. I've never really given a shit, so it's not going to start now.
This is true.
Apparently, Vyasin says Hollywood's making a new Gladiator. I saw the trailer for the new... No, well, it's not the same thing. It's not Gladiator with Cheech and Chomp, but yeah, they're making a new Gladiator movie. Obviously, Russell Crowe's not in it because his original character, Maximus, dies, so he can't come back in Gladiator 2. It's not a soap opera. But I saw the trailer for it the other day. It looks pretty damn good. It really does look awesome. Yeah, I think I'll watch it. I haven't seen a movie trailer for a long time that I thought, yeah, I want to see that. But Gladiator 2, I think I'll go and take a look at. Sounds pretty good. Mapelo says, I don't have a wallet. I always use my phone everywhere. Samsung Wallet stores every card I have, even store cards. But last week I lost my phone and I couldn't go home. I became a beggar. See?
Yeah. I mean, how often do we forget our phone somewhere? It happens a lot.
Yeah. And let me tell you, if you leave your phone behind these days, you are in a big spot of shit because it's going to be very difficult for you to get anything working. People can't navigate, so they don't know where to drive. They don't remember destinations. They don't know how to get home. They have no money on their person. They don't have ID. They don't have anything. So your phone is like such an integral part of your equipment. It's kind of, if you just should strap it to yourself. Funny enough, I was talking to someone the other day about like the kind of stuff that's coming off of this in terms of radiation, because we have them on us the whole time. And this one friend of mine has a pouch that he keeps it in because he refuses to have, and this pouch is like insulated or whatever. He refuses to have all this dangerous radiation leaking out of his phone and like making him sterile or giving him cancer. We think it's going to happen.
There would have been people dying from that already. It's been around long enough.
Well, has it? I mean, it's only been a couple of years. I think, you know, we'll only know in another generation whether or not these things really have started to affect us. I'm not sure. Shani says, be honest, Gareth, you were in Cape Town to see Engelbert Humperdinck. I didn't know he was in Cape Town. Engelbert Humperdinck. I mean, that's one of your favorites, Leanne, isn't it?
I'm trying. Why is the name's very familiar? I can't remember. I'm looking him up.
His most famous song is Fly With Me, Lesbian Seagull.
Oh, that's him. I see him now. Goodness.
Shame.
Is he really in Cape Town?
Well, that's what Shani says. Why would we not believe her?
He's going to, as part of his last hurrah, he'll also be serenading Gauteng fans.
Oh, exciting times.
I'm trying to see when exactly that is. He's had a 6-decade career.
Yeah, oof. Been around a long time.
It's the last waltz farewell tour. he'll be Times Square Casino in Pretoria and then making his way to Cape Town. So it's probably already been.
Well, you know, pick your event. You got to go and see him. Cunning Stunt says he's always in Sun City. I don't know. Engelbert Humperdinck. There's someone I am not in a hurry to go and see. I mean, good luck to him. Janine says, I love Gen Z's explanation for not making their beds. It's a scientific fact that if you make your bed, it's a breeding ground for more bed bugs. You know, it seems like this generation that we're talking about they're just prepared to do as little as possible and get credit for as much as possible. I don't know how to respond to that. I really don't know what to say to it. That's embarrassing.
Oh, boy.
Jethro says you can load your virtual bank card on your fitness watch. Most supported now. Good option if you lose your phone. So then you just, scan with your watch. I had an Apple Watch for a while. And, I mean, mine was like the first generation and I just never bothered to upgrade it because then it just gets expensive. You're upgrading your phone the whole time, your laptop, your watch, your iPad. Mm. Who needs all this stuff? You really just need the phone.
Well, I said it the other day. I can't wait until we get to what was predicted in the Book of Revelations, where we just have a chip. It'll be so much better than all of this stuff.
Exciting times, Leanne. It's coming. Don't worry. Okay, listen, it's 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Leanne Moll and I are here on the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. We will be back in just a moment with a whole lot more.